Good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath to you, too. I've been blessed by the music and the stories and the fellowship today. How about you? But I will say you've been sitting for a long time, so I'd like to give you a moment to stretch. So if you could just reach forward to somebody sitting close to you, shake their hand, smile real big, and I want you to say, it's a good thing you're here today. And now that you're happy, we can pronounce the benediction and go to lunch. Lex, come here. It's a good thing you're here today. Will you shake my hand? There you go. Okay, now you can go sit down. It is a good thing that we're here today because we are family. And together, we're better than when we're apart. That's what it's all about today. They tell me that over in the country of Japan, you can rent a family. If you're feeling lonely and depressed, all you have to do is call up the Nippon Kokosu Hounbu and order a member of the family, any member you might like, a son, a daughter, a grandchild, a cousin. Tell them what you want, and at 12 o'clock sharp, they will be on your doorstep. They will greet you. They will honor you like family. They will eat lunch with you and spend another couple hours chatting with you. The people love it. But there's one thing you need to know before you get on the phone and call them up and order a family member. 3 hours visit will cost you $1,300 plus the taxi fare. Now, the genius behind this business is a woman by the name of Satsuki Ahiwa. And Satsuki Ahiwa, back in 1990, was visiting with a businessman friend of hers. And this man was telling her how he was so busy with his work, he just didn't have time to go visit his elderly mother. So Satsuki Ahiwa said, "Don't worry, I'll take care of it for you." So she hired a man to go make the visit for this friend of hers. And that was the launching of a very successful business. Well, it seems to me that Satsuki Ahiwa knows something very important about people. People need to be loved. And people need to be loved by their families and their friends. Do you know why it's that way? Because that's the way God is. God lives in relationships. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit live in relationships. And since we are made in God's image, we've been made to thrive in our families, our loving families, our loving communities, and loving churches. Now, whenever we start to talk about the church, certain images begin to come into people's minds. We talk about the church, and we think of this building with a steep roof line and a steeple and stained glass windows and pews and organs and pianos. We think of a building. We start talking about the church, and we think about the worship service. What happens between 11 and 12 o'clock? We start talking about the church, and we think of an organization, a denomination like, say, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And the word church fits each of these instances, but it fails to capture the essence of what this is all about. The church is people. It is the people of God. It is the body of Christ. It is the family of God. Now, not only do people have some rather fuzzy notions about what the church is all about, they got some rather fuzzy notions about what it means to belong. You see, there are a growing number of people today who will tell you, "I am a Christian, but I don't want to belong to a church." Let me shoot straight with you. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, for someone to say, "I am a Christian, but I don't want to belong to a church," makes about as much sense as someone saying, "I'm a tuba player, but I sure don't want to march in the band." Or, "I'm a bumblebee, but I don't want to have anything to do with the hive." Or, "I'm a soldier, but I don't want to be in the platoon." Or, "I'm a football player, but I don't want to play on the team." A Christian without a church is like an organ without a body. A Christian without a church is like a sheep without a flock. A Christian without a church is an orphan in need of a family. You see, the fundamental thing about the Christian faith is this. It is built on relationships. A relationship with Jesus Christ, a relationship with each other. If you want to grow in Christ and live in daily readiness for His return, you need to belong. You need to belong to God's family. You need to belong to God's church. And so today we want to take a look at five reasons why you need to belong to a church. And if you're writing notes, you might want to take the notes down one by one and write down the passages of Scripture as well. Here's the first thing that we can see, and that is belonging to a church shows that you are a true follower of Jesus Christ. It shows that you are a true believer. You cannot claim to be a true believer in God, a true follower of God, if you're living in isolation, if you're trying to make the journey all on your own. Jesus himself tells us in John 13, verse 35, "All men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another." Now, the church is made up of people, isn't it? All kinds of people. Big people, little people, silver-haired grandpas with ponytails going down their back, college-age boys who shave their heads. We have people in the church who love the music of Mendelssohn and others who like the music of Michael W. Smith. We have vegetarians and carnivores, Obama Democrats and Romney Republicans. We have people who are MIT graduates and those who flunked out of high school. We have people in the church who have been here all their lives and others who just joined last week. And you put these people all together, and humanly speaking, you know what you're going to get? Trouble. Trouble in River City, because we don't get along that well unless something is going on from up above. When we come together as a family, when we belong to each other, when we share love with each other, when we share Jesus Christ in our fellowship, it shows that God is present, that God is at work in our midst. It authenticates the fact that we have a real walk with Jesus. The second thing on our list is this. When you belong to a church, it helps you to grow in Jesus Christ. Your spiritual growth is essentially tied to your belonging to a church. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul talks about the body of Christ, and he talks about belonging to the body of Christ, and he talks about our spiritual growth because they all go together. And he says in verses 14 to 16, "Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." The essential message is this. When you are in the church, you will grow in Christ. If you're all by yourself, you won't. Now, when I was a kid in college taking my college psychology course, our professor, Dr. Don Warren, one day told us the story of some research that had been done with monkeys. They took these baby monkeys away from their mothers and put them into a cage with two surrogate mothers. The first mother was nothing more than a bundle of wire with a milk bottle attached to it. The second mother was a wadded-up piece of warm terry cloth. And the most amazing thing happened. The monkeys, one by one, would take their turns nursing from that wire and milk bottle mother. And then as quickly as they could, they made their way over to the terry cloth mother and hung on for dear life. Now, the terry cloth mother was a lot more reassuring than the wire mother. But you know what? All of those monkeys grew up to have severe emotional and behavioral challenges. They were not well-balanced monkeys. And the lesson that was learned from this experience was this. Monkeys need families in order to grow up healthy. And the same thing holds true with children. Children need families in order to grow up healthy. They need mom and dad and brother and sister. That is the ideal. The same thing holds true in the Christian life. If you want to grow strong, you want to grow in your faith, you need a church family, because all by yourself, you're not going to do so well. The third thing that I can see is this. Belonging to a church moves you out of isolation and into meaningful relationships. You know, when God created Adam, he let him loose for a little while. He probably spent a couple hours wandering through the garden, looking at the animals, naming the animals, noticing that they were matched up two by two. And the amazing thing happens here. You know, all week long, God had been creating one thing after the other, and he said, that is good, and that is good, and that is good. And then all of a sudden, he creates Adam, and he says, that is not good. He says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it is not good for the man to be alone. Evidently, it's not a lot of fun being by yourself, is it? I mean, how many of you have ever tried wandering through Disneyland all by yourself? It's not much fun. It's a whole lot more fun when you have your spouse, your kids, your grandkids with you. Life is more meaningful when you're in relationships. Then in Acts chapter 2, verse 44, we can see something of the quality of relationships that were shared in the early Christian church. There, the Apostle Luke records for us, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Two important things that we can see here. If you want to enjoy meaningful relationships, you've got to spend time together, and you've got to share yourself with each other. That's why I love the story that is told by Gary Clark. Gary got hungry for a burger one night, and so he went down to the local burger joint and got himself a burger and some fries. And as he was enjoying his dinner, he got to talking with the guy at the next table, a man by the name of Steve Barbin. They were having such a good conversation. They shoved their tables together and kept talking into the night. They quickly became best of friends. Well, they would get together, they would share their stories, they would laugh at each other's jokes. They got to the place that, where they could complete each other's sentences. And then one day Steve said, you know, Gary, I'm getting married, and I want you at my wedding because you were like a true brother to me. That was an amazing thing to say because Gary had grown up as an only child. For years, his mother and father had tried to have children, and it just didn't work. And then one day, along came Gary, and they said, you are God's gift to us. And Steve, well, Steve had been adopted. He'd grown up in a wonderful family. His friendship went on year after year after year. And one day, Gary got a call from the Connecticut Department of Children and Families. And the woman on the other end of the line said, Gary, we need to talk. I have something important to share with you, but before I share it with you, I want to make sure you're sitting down. So he sat down, and the woman said, Gary, did you know that you were adopted? Gary said, I don't think so. You've got the wrong guy. And the woman said, no, you're the man I'm looking for. I'm quite positive of this. I am calling you because one of your siblings is in need of some family medical history. And that's why I'm calling to talk with you today. Well, Gary was dumbfounded, completely floored. He had no idea he had been adopted. The woman continued to tell the story. She said, you know, your parents just live over in Bridgeport. They had 13 children and gave 9 of them up for adoption. Gary didn't know what to think, and the woman could sense that he was in shock. So she said, Gary, do you have someone you could talk to? And he said, well, yeah, my buddy Steve, he was adopted. He knows what it's like. The woman said, Steve, what is Steve's last name? Barbin. Gary, there's something else you need to know. Steve is your brother.
You know, when we share time together, when we share ourselves with each other, we are moved out of isolation into important relationships. We are moved from being strangers to being friends to being family. The fourth thing I want to tell you this morning is that you need to belong to a church because this is the place where spiritual gifts are exercised. This is the place where spiritual gifts are exercised. Now, the Bible is very clear that the Holy Spirit endows every believer with at least one spiritual gift, probably a whole cluster of spiritual gifts. But the other thing the Bible tells us is that these gifts are never operational in isolation. You can't make it work all by yourself, and you can't make it work for yourself. They are meant to be shared, and it's meant to be played out in the context of a church. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, he says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. And so, we need to be team players. Each one of us engaging our gifts and service, each of us teaming up with the others so that we can make it work. Many years ago, there were two young men who got themselves into law school. They enrolled at the Chicago-Kent School of Law, and on day one, they both knew that they were in trouble. Mr. Overton had no idea how he was going to get through law school because he was totally blind. And Mr. Kasprzyk had no idea how he was going to get through law school either because he had no arms. Well, on the first day of school, the two met each other. They became good friends very quickly. They figured out that they could be a team and help each other out. So every day as they went to class, the blind man who had hands, who had arms, carried the books. And the sighted fellow with no arms, he led his buddy from class to class to class and at night read the assignments to his friend. And would you believe it, when it came time to graduate, the blind man was at the top of his class, and when he gave his valedictory speech, he gave all the credit to his armless friend, and then the two of them went out and became partners in law for life. What an amazing picture of the church, because all of us are handicapped. All of us are disabled in some way. All of us have something that we're not very good at. And all of us have these amazing talents, these amazing gifts that God has given to us to serve the church. And so when we come together, we complement each other. When we work together, things get done. When we work together, we grow in Christ. When we work together, our church grows. Life is always better when we do it together. When we serve together, it's because we belong together. And we're getting things done together. One more thing on my list. You need to belong to a church because that is the way we win the world for Jesus Christ. Like we said just a moment ago, ministry is a team sport. And the same thing holds true of evangelism. Evangelism is a team sport. When we come together as a body of believers and we share the love of Jesus with our community, we are able to reach a wider variety of people. When we come together as a body of believers and we share Jesus Christ with our communities, we win more and more people for Jesus Christ. When we come together as a body of believers and we share Jesus Christ with our communities, the character of God is shown to everyone around. Evangelism is a team sport. It takes all of us working together. It takes pastors and lay people and deacons and elders and deaconesses and Sabbath school teachers. It takes men and women, boys and girls, educated and uneducated, wealthy and the poor. It takes all of us together because every believer is ordained for gospel ministry, and that takes place in the context of the church. That is why Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 20, verses 18 to 20, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. A few years ago, there were two young Seventh-day Adventists, one a Korean, the other a Mongolian. And it was their mission, they had it in their hearts to plant a brand new Seventh-day Adventist church in Mongolia. There were just two problems. Number one, they didn't speak each other's language. And number two, no one wanted to come to their church. Well, they didn't know what to do, and things got kind of desperate, so the Korean young man decided to start some conversational Korean classes. And guess how many people showed up? Only two or three. Well, the mission president came to visit them. He came to encourage them, and he said, look, you guys have been here for 5 months, and there is no church. And you know as well as everyone else that God did not bring you here to teach conversational Korean classes. God brought you here to plant a new church. Well, the young men knew that the president was right, but they didn't know what to do. So they got down on their knees and they prayed and they asked God to show them the way, to show them how to reach that community for Christ and plant a new church. When they got up off their knees, suddenly they had an idea, something that they could do together. They went door to door, and the Korean young man gave everyone who wanted one a free massage. And while they were getting their massage, the Mongolian young man read Bible promises to them and had prayer with them. People were beginning to warm up. People liked that kind of treatment. Then they decided to get a ministry going at the local hospital. They went from room to room to room, giving people a free massage, reading to them promises from the scriptures, praying with them. And one day as they were walking down the hall, a man and a woman stepped out of a room, took them by the arm, and pulled them back in. There they pointed to the little boy in the bed, and they said, that's our son, and he is completely paralyzed. We want you to pray that he will walk again. So do you know what they did? The Korean young man began to massage the boy's legs. And the Mongolian young man read Bible promises and prayed for them. They did this day after day after day. And the doctor said, don't waste your time. He's just going to die pretty soon here anyway. Don't waste your time. But they kept coming. 3 weeks later, the most amazing thing happened. That boy kicked off the blankets from his bed, sat up and swung his feet over the side of the bed. He jumped off the bed onto the floor and walked across the room. And within minutes, the news of this victory went like wildfire all across town. That next Sabbath, 30 people showed up for prayer. And soon there were 50 people meeting with them week by week. And something else, that little boy, still alive, still growing, still thriving. These two young men present a powerful picture of the church. I mean, they came from different countries, spoke different languages, embraced different cultures, had different personalities and giftedness, but together, God used them to plant a whole new church. And what can God do with you and me when we come together in love, when we come together with a passion for soul winning? Our outreach, our evangelism, our church growth will be made effective when we belong to the church and when we're doing it together. In the Christian faith, there is no such thing as a lone ranger. Because the Christian faith is built upon powerful relationships. It's built upon a relationship with Jesus Christ and a relationship with each other. And the Bible has a name for that kind of thing. It's called the body of Christ. It's called the assembly of the saints. It's called the congregation. It's called the bride of Christ. It's called the flock of God. It is called the family of God. It is called the church. And you just cannot be a true Christian all by yourself. You can't be a growing Christian all by yourself. You cannot thrive in meaningful relationships all by yourself. You cannot effectively serve and use your gifts all by yourself. And you cannot win the world for Jesus Christ all by yourself. You got to belong. You got to belong to God's church. I've got some adding machine tape here from Kadon. And this piece of paper here represents the Christian believer who says, leave me alone. I want to be all on my own. I don't need the church. I don't need anybody. I'll just get through my days all on my own. And into that life comes some really good days. Into those days come some really fine experiences, and there's no one to share those things with, no one to celebrate with them. And into those lives come some hard times, times that are very difficult and challenging, but there's no one there to share that with them. And this is what you get: two circles, no connection, all on their own. I got another piece of paper here. And this one represents the Christian who is connected, Christian who belongs to a church. They've got a family there with them. They're there to celebrate with them every victory, every triumph. A family there who is going to support them and encourage them through the toughest times of life. They are never alone. They are always together. They always feel a sense of belonging. And no matter what, they are connected as long as the tape works. This is what God wants for us. He wants us to be connected. He wants us to belong. So I have a very specific appeal for you today. I'm asking you to make the decision to connect. I'm asking you to make the decision to belong. And for you, that may mean something very special, something that's not altogether like the person sitting next to you. Some of you have been part of this church all your life. You're here every week, you go through the motions, but it's not in your heart. And I'm asking you to make the decision to fully engage, to be part of God's church. Some of you may be on the periphery. You come when it's convenient. You come because it's nice to see your friends. You come because it's nice to hang out with people who are like you. But you don't engage in ministry. You're not part of what's really going on. It's just a social thing for you when it's convenient. And I'm asking you to make the decision to get connected, to belong, to become fully engaged in the life of this church. Some of you may be out church shopping. Some of you may be seekers. Some of you may be saying, you know, I'm just exploring what Christianity is all about. I'm exploring what the church is all about. And I'm asking you today to make a decision, to become a part of the vital relationships that make life work. And that is to become connected to and belong to Jesus. And become connected to and belong to His church. You see, God is forming a family, a forever family. And today, He's inviting you to connect. He's asking you to belong. He's urging you to join the journey. Let's pray together. Oh God, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for Jesus, who died on Calvary's cross to enable us to make the ultimate connection and to belong to you always. Lord, we're thankful for your church too. This body of believers, these friends, this family who profoundly loves us and encourages us and empowers us to be part of a greater whole than ourselves. Lord, each of us has important decisions to make when it comes to this matter of belonging. And at whatever level that decision needs to be made, Lord, I pray that you will help us to make the commitment and take the next step forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.